and tell you about the three pillars that we currently base our Facebook journalism project around. This is, as almost everything at Facebook, in development, in iteration. So currently we focus on solutions for publishers, training and tools for journalists, and more context for people on Facebook when it comes to journalism and the news that we're spreading. And as you might have heard in the news, this is a challenge for us. So first, about solutions for publishers. One thing that we heard loudly from the industry, and I was part of that discussion at that time, was that publishers wanted Facebook to help them with build a paid content business. So after the changes in the algorithm that surprised us all and were very unpleasant for most of the news partners, there was a kind of shift to paid content, and there was a question how Facebook could play a role in that moving forward. And what we help partners with is understand how you can discover an audience and thereby a business on the platform, how you can get your people involved to interact with you as a brand or your content more, finally how to convert these people into from fans and loyal users into paying customers, and even less, not less important, to keep them after that, to make sure that they don't jump ship and stay on as a paying subscriber. Funny enough, we learned a lot of that about that. For example, at Spiegel, where we actually thought that we have had a decent way on generating digital subscriptions. Once we understood how this worked on Facebook, we had a massive growth. So had others. We just recently published a story from Le Monde, who, after they engaged with us on growing their digital subscriptions, grew their subscriptions by 20% in just 1 year and keep on growing. So there's a lot of things to be learned, and it's on us as Facebook to teach partners how to do this. Because to be very honest, when we were, from a publisher perspective, sitting there talking to Facebook, we did not know how to do this. Because we were thinking subscriptions. We were not thinking marketing and doing it on a very different way and scale than we had did it before in a more traditional way. Another thing that we encountered was that you had subscribers, but your subscribers weren't fans on your page on Facebook. So they were fans of your brand, but they didn't follow you on Facebook. And I'm sorry to bust a myth here. If some person does not follow you on Facebook, they will never see your content unless a friend or a connection shares something or comments on it. But if they do not follow your page, they will never ever see one single piece of content unless you advertise to them, which is pretty expensive compared to growing your audience on the platform. So a lot of publishers have stopped that because it obviously didn't understand how the mechanism and the algorithm worked. One thing we did by introducing the welcome screen was making sure that the ones that have signed up for a subscription, which is the strongest commitment you can have from anyone to your brand, these guys are willing to pay for it, actually could follow you on Facebook and make sure that they saw your news they have paid for on the news feed, the stream that you look at when you open the platform. Another thing that we offer to publishers is Facebook Analytics for subscriptions. Facebook is very much a complicated beast, and there are multiple ways of getting insights or being confused. So what we did was we built, together with our publishing partners in the industry, a bespoke dashboard that allows them to understand how their subscriptions are doing on the platform, how their retention efforts work, and what they can do, what users actually use their contents at which times, and so on. And this is an ongoing process. So all what you've seen now is a result of the Facebook Journalism Project working with publishers and understanding their needs and then building products to make sure that they can get the best support on the platform. Another big thing that we're focusing on, and this is not a surprise, a lot of people know that video is working and video draws a lot of attention when people consume content, is making sure that we add that special flavor to it that comes from Facebook, because Facebook is not YouTube. Facebook is not the video on your own app or your own website. It has something special to it, and that's the social element. So when you look at how people engage with mobile video, and we are primarily a mobile medium, you look at on-the-go consumption, which is very obviously short sessions, unplanned. You look at it at the bus stop or while you're waiting for a friend. You do that quite often. We can measure that. And you simply browse and see what's in there. Whereas what is a trend is We see longer sessions, planned sessions, intentional viewing for relaxation or entertainment. I myself just watched a video for about an hour on the Mueller investigations, which was a piece that we surfaced on Facebook by one of our partners in the US, which was a great piece. And I would never have thought that I would watch a video for an hour on a phone myself, not being a millennial, as you can tell by my gray hair. So we have different formats now that we try to address these needs with. Stories and feeds are the most common ones that most newsrooms see and understand. Others are watch live, watch parties, premieres, and newly introduced last year IGTV, which all have their own audiences and have their same ideas on how to interact with the audiences. IGTV, I don't know if you saw that just recently, was a message because Lena, a pop star in Germany, had exclusively published a vertical music video, the first one that was totally only filmed in vertical, and it's a huge success. And it gives you an impression, even as a news outlet, what that could look like if you go to vertical on a smartphone and have the full screen covered. I'll show you another example in a minute. So what we introduced a while ago was Facebook Watch, and most of people might have seen that icon on the bottom line of your Facebook app if you're using Facebook. And Facebook Watch was initially introduced as the place for long-term Facebook original content. The idea was to have some premium shows on there that would allow people to stick on longer, have known formats, known brands present their content. This worked for a while. We did this, tried this out with, I would say, don't quote me on it, probably 20 to 25 premium partners in the US who would either run a daily show or weekly show specifically produced for Facebook Watch and exclusively produced for Facebook Watch. Over the time, we've seen that a lot of video content could live on Facebook Watch, which is primarily a video channel within Facebook, where you would then be fed with other content that you would be interested in, and where you would be allowed to, example, pick a news tab and say, I'm interested in news, and you would only be confronted with news videos from different brands that you've signed up to. I'll show you a short show reel, which is from last year, and which shows how these shows were done. So what you can see there is that news partners leveraged the vertical format to show their news content, and there are a couple of shows like On Location in the US that work quite well and deliver astonishing results. So even if you're not planning to produce something for exclusively for Facebook, have a look at how vertical video can work in news. And it's not just about showing the presenter in full scale and vertical, but a lot of partners work with split screens where they have the anchor talking or someone conducting an interview and using the second half of the screen and showing infographics or related information, which really makes it interesting. Another part is that a couple of partners have tried out interactive formats where you could vote while you're watching or asking your questions while you're actually broadcasting the show, which has seen great uptake and a lot of interaction with the audiences. So how do you do this unless relying on Facebook buying that content and writing a check? I personally do not believe that writing a check for a specific kind of corporation and content over a specific time without having a business model helps anyone. It can help spark innovation, it can help try something out, but if you cannot find a business model on the platform, there's no way you can live on there, you can pay your journalists, you continue having your newsroom if you don't have a business. So what we introduced is ad breaks. We introduced that a couple of months ago actually. And we've experimented a lot. And I don't know if any of you have experimented with ad breaks. Did anyone? On video? No one? Great. I did in my former role, and it was disappointing. So the product wasn't good enough. The automated insertion came on at awkward times. You would like see someone being cut off half in the sentence and then an ad inserted. It wasn't a great experience. The product has developed quite from that and is now in a good shape, and it monetizes quite well. We've seen publishers in Germany, where the audience is limited because German is not spoken around the world, monetizing single videos up to five-digit figures just for one single video through ad breaks. So it works. And this video was actually a 7-minute long video. So it's not about the 90 second or the just short news. It was a 7-minute video that people astonishingly clinged on to watch almost through the whole video, and by that generating decent revenue on that. So it is really about understanding these best practices, understanding what you and the newsroom can produce as videos to have these experiences, and by that a decent revenue on that. Another thing that I'm personally very excited about is the News Index. We have rolled this out for English and Spanish language pages already, and we're going to do this to major European languages until summer and hopefully cover most of the region of EMEA until the end of the year. The News Index does something that you would think is very obvious. It allows Facebook to identify a legitimate and trusted publisher as a publisher. This was an ask we raised with Facebook about 2 years ago, because we did not understand why Facebook would not want to treat media partners, especially trusted news partners, differently than any other page. And the reason behind that was pretty much dramatic, because Facebook did not necessarily distinct on an owner level or a page level, but simply on the article level, whether it would consider this news in the broadest way of definitions, or if it would be something real journalistic from a professional background. So by introducing the News Index, we are registering partners, we are vetting partners, and if you are on the News Index, you will be eligible for other treatment, different treatment, and this is a favorable treatment, compared to other pages on Facebook, because we definitely want that high-quality journalistic content on the platform. So this will open up access to things like the breaking news feature. It will allow you to get onto the subscriptions product that we have had in beta for a while now and are looking to rolling out publicly available to all news partners throughout this year. It will allow you to have a different way of monetizing on the platform and a couple of other things. This will not change your distribution overnight. It's nothing where we kind of have a booster and then we're back to 2017 where everything was glorious and shining. Facebook is not about referral traffic only any longer. If you look at the traffic that people have seen declining in the beginning of 2018 when the algorithm changed and where we are now, most of the partners have recovered quite decently. Still, it will not go back up to the old way where it was, because we want to go away from clickbaiting, sensationalism. We want to make sure that users on the platform have a content that they really feel is valuable and is worth their time when reading it. So what we'll do is we'll take partners off the News Index and make sure that these are flagged as credible sources, trusted sources, professional sources, and we don't make any distinction, of course, around whether you're leaning to a specific political direction or anything else. This is simply vetting you if you're a professional news organization and not what you're doing content-wise, because Facebook will never censor you.